So it is our honor to invite tonight on this fourth night as we commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Sheikh Ali Qummi, who is going to be addressing the believers, talking about Imam Hussein alayhi salam's demands from Islam's preachers and scholars in part two with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله آل الله لا سيما بقية الله ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أعداء الله من يومنا هذا لقاء الله أما بعد فقد قال الله فلا تخشوا الناس واخشوني ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا صلوات We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this opportunity to commemorate the martyrdom anniversary of those who were martyred in Karbala. It is indeed a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the likes of us have the ability and have the opportunity to come and talk about Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Doing the zikr of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us, the followers of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, to be able to come together and commemorate these great personalities. No one can ever do justice to the fazail of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Despite the fact that hundreds and thousands of people, governmental apparatuses, groups, they try to conceal the fazail of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, yet we see that today in the entire world, wherever there are human beings, wherever there are people of conscience, they talk about Hussein alayhi salam. This is the fazila of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. His zikr is going to stay. We are the ones who are going to depart. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Ahle Karbala, they are going to stay. All the shuhada, all those who followed the footsteps of Ahle Karbala, they are to stay. And above all, Imam Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is going to stay. Please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So these two speeches, they were titled Imam Hussein alayhi salam's demands from Islam's preachers and scholars. We see that there are so many people, they're keen on labeling themselves to be the zakir of Ahlul Bayt, to be the muballigh of Islam, to be an alim of Islam. So many people, they're keen to do that. But when we look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and when we try to find out what his expectations are from those who call themselves to be the muballigh of Islam, we see that we have signed up for something really difficult and challenging. Being a Hoza student is not easy. And like I said yesterday, all of these things that we're going to be saying, first and foremost, they apply to me myself. I'm the first misdaq of it. These are reminders for myself. And inshallah, whatever out of these pearls of sayings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam you can benefit from, inshallah, we pray that we all take something from it, inshallah. These majalis, They are a place where we get nurtured, where our families get nurtured, where our kids get nurtured. They understand the ma'arif of Islam through these majalis. So inshallah, we're going to try to benefit from the kalam of Imam Hussein alayhi salam when we look at his sermon of Mina, which Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi has written an exposition on. So in terms of its sanad, you don't need anything more. Imam Khomeini is not going to waste his time on something that is not mustanad, right? If Imam Khomeini has written a sanad, an exposition of it, this in of in itself is a sanad of this document. So we're going to try to benefit from what Imam Hussein alayhi salam's expectations are from the muballighin of Islam, from the scholars of Islam, and from those who call themselves to be the zakir of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. If you recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. قال إمام الحسين عليه السلام أنتم تتمنون على الله جنته. You desire from Allah His Jannah. He's talking to who? The scholars of Islam. The first مخاطبين of what Imam Hussein عليه السلام said in Mina were the scholars of Islam. So he says that you desire Jannah, that Allah give you the Jannah, right? And by the way, when we're saying that he was talking to the scholars of Islam, he was not talking to the scholars of Iran or Afghanistan or Pakistan. Unfortunately, when it comes to the teachings of Islam, sometimes we tend to bifurcate. Oh yeah, resisting and defending Islam is good. But for those who are living in Iran, defending Islam is everybody's responsibility, but I'm exempted because I live in the system of Taghut. This is the wrong approach towards Islam. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam is giving us some teachings for the ulama, anybody who says that they are the student of this maktab, it applies to them. There's no exceptions. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, you desire Jannah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His paradise. But you don't fulfill the responsibilities you have towards this maktab. It's Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And like I said last night, some of these things are going to be harsh. But I'm not saying them necessarily. We're looking at the kalam of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam in this sermon, he says, and we are continuing from where we left off last night. Imam says, the administration of the country and the issuing of decrees and ordinances should actually be trusted to religious scholars who are guardians of God's ordinances concerning what is permitted and what is forbidden. But your position has been usurped from you. Note this, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is talking to the scholars, but your position has been usurped from you for no other reason than that you have abandoned the truth, al-haq, and you have disagreed about the nature of the sunnah despite the existence of clear proofs. End quote. So Imam is saying that your right has been taken away from you by the oppressors. Brothers, this whole passage that I just recited, is it not enough of a dalil for the system of Wilayatul Faqih? Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi says, Isbate Wilayatul Faqih Badihiyast. And here Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, despite the existence of clear proofs. Clear proofs exist. Now, what is the fuss about when it comes to Wilayatul Faqih? Why is it that this confusion exists in the society that no, our ulama, you know, they have difference of opinion when it comes to the asl of Wilayatul Faqih? Whose fault is that? When Imam Hussein alayhi salam is giving us the dalil, why in the world have we failed to convey that dalil to the world? I'm talking about the scholars, the preachers, the future ulama even. Whose fault is it that people are confused out there? about the asl of wilayatul faqih. I'm aware of the differences between fuqaha when it comes to the jurisdiction of wilayatul faqih. That's a separate topic. I'm talking about the asl of wilayatul faqih. None of our conditions fulfilling mujtahid, conditions fulfilling faqih and marja, they have a disagreement when it comes to the asl of wilayatul faqih. Let me ask you, is this the general understanding of Shias? Let's not talk about Ahl Sunnah for now. The brothers of Ahl Sunnah, we can talk another time. Is this the general understanding of the Shias around the world? Who was supposed to develop that general understanding? Is it not the ulama? Was it not supposed to be done from the member of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Where else is it supposed to get done? Imam Hussein alayhi salam's own kalam is not read from the member, but a khatib's thought process, it is conveyed from the member of Imam Hussein. Isn't that injustice? You know, there's some people, and like yesterday, we are going to go through some of the shubhat and some of the points that some people raise when you discuss these things with them, right? And this is, why am I doing that? It is because Rahbar has said that jihad-e-tab'een is the wazifa, which is qat'i and fawri. You do tab'een. Tab'een of the matalib of a'imma alayhimus salam, right? So some people say, if we bring up wilayatul faqih, right? Some of the speakers, some of the scholars, they say, if we bring up wilayatul faqih, we will be labeled as the agents of Iran. I'm sure many of you have heard about it. They say, no, we know about the fuqaha. Yeah. We know wilayatul faqih exists in Islam. But since I'm going to this country, if I bring it up, I'm going to be labeled as the agent of Iran. Brothers and sisters, as I've said in the past too, we, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, we're not agents of any country. We have nothing to do with any country whatsoever. We are the agents of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And we are proud of it. And we are not going to conceal Islam's system of governance, teaching that system, conveying it to people, the just system of governance that Islam has to offer. That system is imamah. That system is wilayah. And in the occultation of Imam Ma'soom, that system is called wilayatul faqih. We're not going to shy away from spelling it out to the world. The world needs to know, and it is the duty of the preachers of Islam. Then there's another group, right? Some say that every imam did not rise up against the tyrant like Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. Not all of them struggled against the oppression. And then they have the audacity to bring Imam Baqir alayhi salam and Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam as evidence. Please recite a salawat. This is shameful that you bring in a ma'soom imam to prove a point that does not trace us back to the seerah of imam. This is shameful. When you look at, you know, this claim that the other imams, they did not struggle against the taghut of their time, they did not resist against oppression, they did not stand up for the oppressed, these claims, such claims, you know what it is saying? In other words, it is proposing that some imams neglected their divinely assigned duty. Na'uzu billah min zalik. This is what it translates to. The Quran has commanded, وَاشْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. So you are saying essentially that some of the imams, na'uzu billah, they fell short when it comes to their ijtanab of taghut. See how far it goes. This logic. They say, no, they just built the Hauza Ilmiya and the Madaris and they were just doing tadris and that's about it. Brothers and sisters, who gets martyred for teaching? And that too fiqh. Do taharat like this, eat like this, don't eat that, be kind to others, don't lie. Who gets killed for that? Where are we living? Why would the tyrants even bother about such a person? Even in today's time, you look at somebody who just does that all day long, the taghut has no problem with them. So you are saying that the imams, na'uzubillah, this notion proposes that the imams, they did not do their duty. Quran says, antakumu lillahi mathna wa furada. Stand up, rise up for the sake of Allah in pairs or singly. So you're saying that some of the imams did not do that? Are we out of our senses? What are we trying to do here? If we don't to take up a fight against the taghut, that's fine. Don't bring imams into it. You can stay on the sidelines like many did when Karbala was happening. Imams were being butchered. Ahlul Bayt were being tortured. Many stayed on the sidelines. You can do the same if you wish so. Do not try to reinvent the wheel. Who gave you the right to tamper with the deen of Allah? Just because you are incapable, that does not mean that you prove that no, it's okay to be incapable in Islam. This is horrible. We have to be careful. Our Mawla Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Imam said, the famous hadith, Kuna lizalimi khasman walil mazlumi auna. So Hazrat Amir is saying, be an enemy of the oppressor and be an aid, a support of the oppressed. And you're saying some other imams failed to carry out this wasiyah of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Which deen do you follow? If you have to go and live in a system of taghut where you're just afraid, at least don't tamper with the religion. Don't confuse the masses. Don't confuse the people. Don't take away the responsibility they feel on their shoulders. Is it asking for too much to leave alone the maktab of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam in its pure form? That's why Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi said that this is Islam-e Nabe Muhammadi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah. Imam Jafar as-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says very clearly, and we recite in all Ziyarat-e Ashura, Inni silmun liman salamakum, wa harbun liman harabakum, ila yawm al-qiyamah. And you say that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was not ready to take up a fight with the taghut of his time. This is a slander, this is a tuhmat on ma'soom. Anybody who holds this opinion should do tawbah. Should do istighfar. Imam says that we are at peace with those who are at peace with you. We are at war with those who are at war with you. Till the day of judgment. Till the day of Qiyamah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's enemies, they are buried. They are gone. It's easy to send la'an on them. But to say death to America in today's time, to say death to Israel in today's time, to say death to UK in today's time, that is what has a price. That is what is difficult. And not everybody, but the loyal and sincere companions and the followers of Imam Sahib al-Zaman can do it. Look, every single imam of Ahlul Bayt, they performed their wazifa, they performed their responsibility, and they fought against the tyrants and taghut of their time. It's just that some of those imams, because of the nature, because of the given situation, the methodology they used to take up this fight was different. It was probably not always like going out with swords and stuff, with spears and stuff.
The methodology changed, not the asl. The fight was there for all 250 years. And even after that, the struggle was always there. The resistance was always there. All Imams, they were threatened, they were tortured, their families had to go through pains, they were imprisoned, they were martyred. Some were martyred by poison and others by sword. But to say that some Imams did not resist against oppression, this is blasphemy. And we have to be very cautious. Some people say, oh, listen, what you're saying is right, but people are not ready to listen to it. You have heard all these arguments. People are not ready. Some of the scholars, some of the preachers, some of the khatibs, some of the zakirs, they say what you're saying is right. It makes sense. But people are not ready. So basically they take people as an excuse of not speaking up against oppression. You have seen that, right? Brothers and sisters, people are inherently good. People, they want justice. They are inherently attracted towards spirituality. They inherently dislike oppression. This is who the people are. The laymen, they're actually struggling. They're oppressed. They're mustad'af. They're ready. Imam Khamenei, in his recent speech about Imam Khomeini on his rehlat, Imam Khamenei talks about the iman of Imam Khomeini in the words of Shahid Mutahri. The speech is available on the internet. You can go look. One of those imans that the leader, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, talks about that Imam Khomeini possessed was iman in people, faith in people. And here, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he recites the verse of Quran, يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَيُؤْمِنُوا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That prophet, he was a believer. He had faith in Allah and prophet. He was a believer and had faith in people. Rabbi said this, لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ is بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It has the same hukm. He says it in his speech. Imam Khomeini trusted people. So should the other scholars. Why is it that we feel that people are not capable of taking up a fight and resisting against the taghut? Why? Where does that assumption come from? People are ready. If we provide them with the right logical arguments and a course of action. People are not the problem. It's the khawas that are the problem. The khawas have a lot to lose. Poor people, they don't have much to lose anyways. The khawas have a problem. Some say, again another argument, some say we will prepare for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his return by avoiding major sins and elevating our spirituality. So we are not going to walk into the arena, the battle that is going on right now. We're going to work on ourselves through du'as, through ziyarat, through different rituals, salat, sawm. We're going to raise our spirituality and then we'll wait for the imam to come. And once he comes, then we are ready. Brothers and sisters, this whole elevating your spirituality. Ayatollah Dastaghayb Shirazi, he is the writer of Gunahan-e-Kabira, right? The greater sins. It's available in English, it's available in Farsi, of course, and Urdu as well. He writes, I think 31st greater sin in his book is not helping the oppressed. It is a greater sin. Who writes? Ayatollah Dastaghayb Shirazi, a huge Shia shakhsiyat, right? He writes it very clearly and he backs it up with all these arguments and ahadith from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. And he says that it is a greater sin, gunahe kabira. So let me ask you a question, and you can go ask any of your teacher. Ask them, if somebody knowingly every day repeats a gunahe kabira, would he grow in his spirituality? Is there any chance that he would grow in his spirituality? All of your teachers are going to tell you no. If somebody knowingly
while they know. For instance, let me give you an example. Abandoning Salat, right? Or making it Qaza on purpose, intentionally. If it is done over and over again as a habit, it is a Gunahi Kabira. I'm not talking about, you know, one time it slipped your mind or you were sleeping and you couldn't wake up. I'm talking about somebody doing it knowingly over and over again. Every day, it's a Gunahi Kabira. Ask any teacher, if I do this practice every day, would I excel in my spirituality? No Arif, no Sahib-e-Ma'rifat, nobody who knows Shia Aqaid, nobody who knows Shia Ma'arif is going to give you a license to keep repeating a greater sin in your life. So how in the world can we not raise a voice for the Palestinians? How in the world can we not raise voice for the Yemenis? How in the world can we not raise voice for the Kashmiris and so many others who are oppressed in the world and think that we are excelling in our spirituality? Who are we fooling? We're simply fooling ourselves. This is a batil idea. Yet some people, they, you know, they're so careful about their taharat, najasat, wudu. They would spend like 35 minutes doing their wudu, but wouldn't go and say one word in support of the oppressed. Why? Because they're getting ready for the reappearance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. This is shameful. And all of this is being done in the name of Shia Islam. You know, Imam Khomeini one time said that if the scholars of Islam had told people that there are no two opposite pathways in Islam, our problems would have been solved. The license we get from many of the lazy scholars is what creates the problem. That's when we stop thinking about our responsibilities. That's when we start to go in this relaxed mode. Oh, all you need to do is just do azadari of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that to a few days in Muharram every year, you are taken care of. You are insured. Hazrat Zahra salam alayha is just going to overlook and make everybody else, all the angels and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she's going to make, na'uzu billah, them overlook all your sins and deficiencies. This isn't how it works, brothers and sisters. Yes, azadari is going to compensate for a lot of our shortcomings. Yes, we do hope for the shifaat of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. Without her shifaat, we're not getting anywhere. And yes, doing azadari is part of our belief. It's part of our existence. But it is not a license to sin. It is not a license to not fulfill our responsibilities. It actually is a source that compels us to be more responsible. Look, if we can beat our chest, and that too, like hard, if we can do that, other things are comparatively much easier. Eating food with right hand is much easier. Doing hijab is much easier. Taking care of mahram and non-mahram is much easier. Hitting yourself is harder, right? Arguably. Correct? Not watching stuff that you're not supposed to be watching online, it is easier compared to beating yourself up. We're already doing so much for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We're already doing so much for Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. Why not just drop those few sins? It's that easy. Those small little habits that we may have developed along the line. Backbiting. You know, we just do it habitually. A lot of times we don't even gain anything out of backbiting, right? Drop those sins. The azadar of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a role model, the true azadar, right? So with this, inshallah, we hope and we pray, inshallah, and this is something we rely on, is the shifaat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. Please recite as-salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, so we're going back to Imam Hussein alayhi salam's khutbah. It's a slightly long passage, so I would like you to follow along. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, had you the forbearance to endure adversities and hardships for the sake of God, then all proposed regulations would be brought to you for your approval and for you to issue. Authority would lie in your hands. But you, talking to scholars, muballighin, but you allowed the oppressors to take away your function and God's affairs, that is government, to fall into their hands, so that they administer them by resorting ambiguities and make arbitrariness and the satisfaction of lust their consistent practice. What enabled them to join, what enabled them to gain control of the government was, this is important, what enabled them to gain control of the government was your fleeing in panic for inevitable death and your love of life, which shall in all certainty depart from you. As a consequence of that mentality, you have delivered the powerless masses into the clutches of the oppressors. The reason, according to the logic of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the statements of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, anywhere in the world, if the oppressors are ruling and they have control over the governments and they are in charge of running the affairs of the societies, that is the fault of the ulama. That's the logic of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Anywhere in the world where people are being oppressed, Imam says that the powerless masses, they are in the clutches of the oppressors because of you. Imam is telling us, the preachers, the muballighin, the scholars, that it is our fault that the oppressed are being oppressed. It is our fault that the oppressors have the audacity to continue their oppression. Yet, we don't want to talk about it. So many majalis take place throughout the world. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The zikr of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is very important. But what about the fikr of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? The logic of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The maktab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The teachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Are we going to drop those teachings and go after our own self-made rituals and be satisfied that we have done azadari? Brothers and sisters, this is what Imam Hussein alayhi salam is asking for. Where is our response? Where is our labbaik? In Karbala, Imam Hussein alayhi salam asked for water, right? He asked for water. How many times during the Masaib have we thought, if I were there, I would do anything and everything to bring water to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his camps. I would bring water for Sakina. Isn't that right? How many times have we thought about that? We would do anything and everything to bring that water to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why? Because he says, Hal min nasirin yansurna. That's what he says, right? Today, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is again saying, Hal min nasirin yansurna. Where is our labbaik? Where is our labbaik? Imam is demanding from us to hold the hands of the oppressors. Some people ask, like, why do you guys talk so much about Imam Khomeini? Huh? Some people ask, why are you such a big fan of Imam Khomeini and Imam Khamenei? This is why. Imam Khomeini's logic was that we are going to hold the hand of the oppressor, twist it and break it before it oppresses any oppressed person. That's Imam Khomeini who taught us that. This is who he was, who revived the pure Muhammadan Islam, the Islam of Hussein alayhi salam. This is who Khomeini was. Brothers and sisters, Imam continues. He says, while some cringe like slaves under the yoke of oppressors, and others have been reduced to destitution in regards to their livelihood, the rulers run the affairs of the government in accordance with their whims. The people are their slaves and are powerless to defend themselves. One of the governors is a dictator by nature, malevolent and rancorous. Another represses to recognize either God or the day of resurrection. It is not strange. How can one think it's strange that society is in the clutches of a cunning oppressor whose tax collectors are oppressor
and whose governors feel no compassion or mercy towards the believers under rule. Brothers and sisters, are we not witnessing the same thing happening? Forget about going to fight. Forget about going to any war front, you know, to defend the oppressed. Forget about coming to protest. Most of us are not even willing to write a tweet on the internet, to post something on their Facebook profile. This is where situation is when it comes to Shias. Why is it that we are indifferent when it comes to the oppression that is taking place around the world? Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, in one of his speeches, he said, "This is the puniest action, the minutest, the smallest action, our minutest obligation that every man, woman, boy, and girl daily across the Arab and Islamic nations and across the world," mind you, he said, Arab, Islamic nations, and all across the world, takes a stance or expresses their stance on social media websites. You know, when it comes to the narrative of resistance, we say that no, I live in the West, I cannot join the resistance movement online even. That's our excuse. Oh, what Imam Khamenei, when he talks about the soft war, he's talking to Iranians. Don't you worry about it. Iranians who gave 300,000 plus shuhada just in those 8 years war to establish the deen of Allah. Again, we have expectations that Iranians go fight on the soft war arena as well. This is shameful while we are busy with our rituals. Majlis after majlis, matam after matam, ibadat after zari, Imam Hussein, ziyarat. Where is our response to wilaya? Where is our response to and the support to Imam Hussein's cause? When are we going to realize? And I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, this is something that we need to start pushing the panic button on. It's very easy for me to just sit very easily and recite, you know, a couple of spiritual ahadith, some akhlaqi ahadith, and just make you happy, you know, some fazail of Ahlul Bayt and go home. But then who is going to, and when are we going to discuss these things? The camp of the oppressors, it is in our houses now. It is attacking, it has hijacked our families. Muslims are, if you remember, those who were here on Mubahla, I spoke about how atheism is spreading. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu was salam sacrificed everything they had for Tawheed. And today in front of our eyes, atheism is spreading, but we have zero response. What are we doing to stop atheism from spreading? What are we doing for the pure Muhammadi monotheism to spread in Islam, in the world? Some say, and I'm coming towards the end, some say, I will only do something when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam returns. You have, again, I'm sure you have heard about this, right? Some say that, I'll do something, you know, I realize my responsibility, but after the Imam comes. Brothers and sisters, is it not the same mentality that the people of Kufa in the time of Muslim bin Aqil had? They said, we are willing to be with truth and haq when the Masoom Imam comes. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not there. Muslim bin Aqil, the deputy and the naib of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, was there. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not present there. So what did they come up with as an excuse? We will do it when the Imam Masoom comes. Isn't that right? What was the result? The result was the deputy of Imam Zaman alayhi salam was abandoned, he was left alone, and he was martyred. Not just that, the story doesn't end there. The Imam Masoom, on his way, coming to rescue the oppressed, he gets martyred in the plains of Karbala. It doesn't stop there. And then the Mukhadirat, and then the ladies of Ahlul Bayt, their namus was brought under oppression. All because of not accompanying, not being with the deputy of Imam. Do we not see this happening today in the world? with the deputy of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei? Do we not see that the mu'mineen are turning a blind eye towards all of the demands that he's making, generally speaking? And that, not to mention, alhamdulillah, there are enough. He doesn't need us, by the way. The movement doesn't need us. We're no ones. We don't even count. We don't even make a difference in the equation between the haq and batil. But when it comes to our responsibility and realizing our own responsibility, it does count. Our akhirah is dependent on that. The Imam Masum is left alone, but before that, his deputy gets left alone. People accompanied the deputy of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, that is Imam Khomeini. You saw the results. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the Islamic system, it was formed. Now it's our time. Those shuhada, they gave their sacrifices. We're the beneficiaries. All the security that we have, we can say whatever. Because of what? Because of the Islamic system. Now it's our turn to make sure that we are responding to the calls of the wali of our time, the deputy of Imam Zaman, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Please recite a salawat. And let me say this, you know, before I move on to the next point. Those who obey Imam Khamenei, the deputy of Imam Mahdi, you know, those who echo his stances and fulfill their responsibility of jihad-e-tabyeen, they get isolated. That's another interesting phenomena that we see. Even back in the day, those who were resisting alongside the Imam Masum, they were isolated by the general community. Isn't that right? You read the history, that's what's happening. Even before Islamic Revolution, Imam Khamenei, he writes, you know, he in one of his speeches, he explains that he was taken in by these Savak agents, right? And not just once, you know, he was taken in several times, right? One of these times he said that I got released and I went to the haram of Imam Reza alayhi salam for ziyarat. You know, I was happy that I'm released. I went for ziyarat and do salam to Imam Reza alayhi salam. He says that I saw that two of my friends, they were there from old time. You know, two of my friends, they saw me and they knew that I was in the jail and I'm released today, right? He said that the moment they saw me, they turned around. Instead of saying salam to me, they just left. They didn't want to talk to Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Why? Oh, he's under the radar. He's being watched. History is repeating even today. The Mujahideen, they get left alone. Nobody wants to talk to them. Why? Because the agencies are looking at them. The logic is still the same. It's still the same Yazid. It's still the same oppression. It's still the same tactics. And this is a source of discouragement for many from walking this path. Is it not the duty of Islamic scholars and the preachers to at least inform people about the camp of resistance? How many times have you seen that the scholars, when they go for tabligh, they talk about, for instance, the accomplishments and the sacrifices of Hezbollah, the accomplishments and sacrifices of Hamas, Jihad-e-Islami, Hashd al-Sha'bi, Kataib Hezbollah, Al-Nujba, Zainabiyun, Fatimiyun, Haydriyun, right? IRGC, Sipah, all of them are giving sacrifices. Why are they not being mentioned? At least from the member of Hussein alayhi salam, these resistance movements should be acknowledged and recognized. I'm recruiting for them, nor I'm telling you to go join them. The point is, isn't it part of our jihad-e-tabyeen to clear up the air and show to the world that these people who are defending the oppressed, they're not doing it for any of their material benefits? But we fail to do that. Why? Again, it's too risky. You know, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, the blind, the dumb, and chronically ill everywhere lack protection in towns, and no mercy is shown to them. But you neither behave in accordance with your function and with your function and rank, nor do you support or pay any regard to those who do. You purchase your safety from the oppressive ruling powers with flattery, cajolery, and compromise. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is talking to the scholars that you purchase your safety from the oppressive ruling oppressors and powers with flattery, cajolery, and compromise. You know, some say if we talk about this subject, our 501c3 status or our charity status will be revoked, and we may not get those tax exemptions, facilities, and fundings. Therefore, we have no choice but to comply with the moral and ethical standards of the West, even if the essence of Islam gets trampled in the process. That's some people's logic, and arguably most of the people's logic. It's okay, Islam gets sacrificed, that's fine. We need to maintain that charity status. And in the end, that charity status doesn't get maintained either. That 501c3 is not retained either. And for those who have it, not for long. Brothers and sisters, do your wazifa. Imam Khomeini used to say, "Ma mamur be wazifa im na natije." We're responsible for our responsibility, not the results. Yes, of course, al-mu'minu kayyis. Yes, we have to be smart, intelligent, but at the same time, it does not mean that we do not fulfill our responsibilities out of fear. You know, similarly, at an individual level, I gave you example of Islamic centers, you know, generally that we have in the West. At an individual level, some choose to stay silent and indifferent in the face of oppression for the sake of their citizenship, their green card, their PR card, their residency permit, their traveling, etc. Brothers and sisters, if you're not ready to take up the challenge, go seek a career somewhere. Don't act as a muballigh, because it's dangerous. And like I said, I'm telling it to myself before anyone. If we're not ready to sacrifice for this maktab, then go get a job, you know, do something. And to get off the hook, some call this unconditional compliance as taqiyya. Unconditional compliance with taghut and their framework to be taqiyya, which may not necessarily be the correct understanding of taqiyya. A topic for another day, inshallah. All of our imams did taqiyya. I'll just say one sentence and move on. All of our imams did taqiyya. All of them, without any exception. And all of them got martyred. And all of them troubled the oppressors of their time. What kind of taqiyya do we do that are the oppressors of our time are not even troubled? Call it whatever else. Like I said yesterday, you want to minus anything from Islam? Don't call it Islam. You want to call it whatever you feel like it, don't call it taqiyya. Taqiyya is a divine concept. Inshallah, if Allah gives the tawfiq, some other day we'll cover that topic. By the way, no one is proposing to do anything illegal. You know, sometimes this comes up too. You know, we're not saying do something illegal or crazy. You know, we're not proposing that. And we have never proposed it. Islam is a religion that is a religion of the intelligence. And they taught us intelligence. Be intelligent. Our question and our concern is what we've been trying to raise in these 2 days, and I'm sorry, but coming to an end. The question is, are we doing things that are well within the legal framework of the countries you're living in? What is stopping you from doing that? Being a preacher of Islam. Why is it that a non-Muslim, a Caucasian white,
or an African American, a black guy, can speak up against oppression while living in the great Satan, the United States of America, but a Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib, zip. How do you reconcile it with the maktab of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, who gave 11 generations in Shahada? I don't know anyone, any single person whose 11th generation, and the 12th one, the 12th Imam is going to be Shaheed as well, according to the narrations. 12 generations. This is the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah. They did not compromise on principles. They did not be indifferent when it comes to oppression. Hence, they were giving martyrdom, shahada after shahada after shahada. As the muballigh of Islam, are we doing jihad-e-tabyeen? According to Imam Khamenei, it's wazifa qat'i wa fori. Are we exposing the enemies? Are we highlighting the crimes of the US, UK, and the Zionist regime? Are we speaking up against the hijab ban laws? Are we speaking up against homosexuality? Are we expressing the concern when Quran gets burnt in Sweden? Are we vocalizing against the caricatures made by Charlie Hebdo when it comes to Prophet and also Imam Khamenei? The problem is, like Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, the problem is that some of us purchase our safety from the oppressive ruling powers. How can we speak against these powers? That's what it comes down to. We purchase our safety from them. Some say it is all politics, political struggle, a struggle for dominance and control. And I'm closing. Imam Hussein alayhi salam in his khutbah says, he says, "Oh God, you know that everything we did was not prompted by rivalry for political power, nor for a search for wealth and abundance. Rather, it was done to demonstrate to men the shining principles and values of your religion, to reform the affairs of your land, to protect and secure the indisputable rights of your oppressed servants, and to act in accordance with the duties you have established and the norms, laws, and ordinance you have decreed." End quote. It was not driven by selfish desires. The world is about to change, brothers and sisters. Imam Khamenei said in November 2022 that the new world order is in the works. There are three confirmed things that are going to happen in this new world order. Number one, according to Imam Khamenei, the isolation of America. Number two, the transfer of power to Asia. Number three, the expansion of the resistance front and logic of resistance. Imam Khamenei in 2015 said, "By Allah's favor and grace, nothing called the Zionist regime will exist 25 years from now." And out of that, how many years have gone? Probably 9 years have passed now. Yet, many of the preachers don't even bother to go and attend Al-Quds rally. This is what the preachers and scholars are doing. They have more important things to do. Imam Khamenei says that the most important issue of the Islamic world is the issue of Palestine. How many preachers do you know throughout Muharram who would talk about Palestine and the oppression that is done by the Zionist regime? We need to get our act straight. The new Islamic civilization is what Imam Khamenei said is being formed, where things are headed. Read the manifesto of the second phase of the Islamic revolution by Imam Khamenei. He says, "The formation of the new Islamic civilization is the prerequisite of the return of Imam alayhi salam." Final message, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, and I quote, "So, O scholars, you are to help us reach this goal, win back our rights from those powers who have considered it acceptable to wrong you and who have attempted to put out the light kindled by your prophet. God suffices us, upon him do we rely, and to him shall we return." And with this, inshallah, we hope and pray for the tawfiq. A lot got said, and I took a lot of your time. But inshallah, we pray and hope that Allah gives us the tawfiq to fulfill the demands of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. I recited the sermon of Imam Hussain alayhi salam for myself and for you, inshallah. Please forgive me for any harsh statement that I may have made. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Dear mourners of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, dear mourners of Aba Abdullah Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam, dear mourners of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, let us take our hearts to the plains of Karbala. The plains of Karbala and the scorching heat of Karbala. Sayyid ibn Taus in Lahuf narrates, فَلَمَّا لَمْ يَبْقَى مَعُهُ سِوَى أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. When all of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam reached Shahadat and no one remained except for his family, خَرَجَ عَلِيُّ بْنُ الْحُسَيْنِ. Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam came out of the tent. Imagine Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He has lost everyone except for his family. Kharaja Ali ibn al-Hussein. Wa kana min asbahin nasi wajhan wa ahsanihim khulka. Ali Akbar was one of the most handsome of people, and he was the best of them in morals. فَاسْتَعْزَنَا أَبَاهُ فِي الْكِتَالِ. Ali Akbar alayhi salam came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and asked for permission to go to fight. فَأَزِنَ لَهُ. The Maqtal says, Imam gave him permission right away. Imam Hussein gave this permission immediately. It is not like his companions and other relatives that he tells them to stop or wait. It is his own son. It is the son of Hussein ibn Ali. This is the infaq of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Ali Akbar alayhi salam is the Ismail of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Fa'azina lahu. Imam gave him permission right away. Ali Akbar walked towards the maqtal. Thumma nazara ilayhi nazara aysim minhu. Sayyid ibn Taus says that Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when he saw Ali Akbar walking towards the maqtal, he looked towards Ali Akbar with these eyes filled with pain and hopelessness. He looked towards Ali Akbar with love. It was a different way of looking at his own son. Thumma qal, Allahumma ashhad. Imam alayhi salam said, O Allah, be a witness. Be a witness of what? Faqad baraza ilayhim ghulamun ashbahun nas. The young person that I have sent towards the maqtal is most similar to your prophet. Khalkan wa khulkan wa mantikan bi rasulika. In his appearance and in his akhlaq and in his talk. They say that when the Ahlul Bayt would miss Prophet of Allah after his rihla, they would call Ali Akbar. They would say, Ali Akbar, come. We want to do your ziyarat. We are missing the Prophet of Allah. You are such a shabahat of Prophet of Allah. We want to do your ziyarah. We want to look at you as if we are looking at the Prophet of Allah. Imam Hussain alayhi salam says the same thing in Karbala, that, oh Allah, be a witness. Now I am sending someone who looks just like your Prophet. He talks just like your Prophet. His akhlaq is just like your Prophet. Imam Hussain alayhi salam not only loved Ali Akbar because he was his son, he loved him for his similarity to the Prophet of Allah. Which Prophet, O Azadarane Hussein? Which Prophet? The Prophet who raised Imam Hussein. The Prophet who kissed Imam Hussein. The Prophet who would extend his sajda if Imam Hussein sits on his back during namaz. The Prophet who would deliver khutbah in Masjid al-Nabi with Hassanain in his lap. Ali Akbar was more similar to this Prophet. How hard it is for Imam Hussein alayhi salam to send Ali Akbar towards Maktal. A maktal in which Burair went and got martyred. A maktal in which Joan went and got martyred. A maktal in which Hur went and got martyred. A maktal in which Habib went and got martyred. A maktal in which whoever went got martyred. Marhum Ibn Taus narrates that Ali Akbar alayhi salam went in the maktal and fought bravely and ferociously. He sent many Yazidis to hellfire. After all, he is the grandson of Haydar-e-Karrar. He is the nephew of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. He is the nephew of Abbas, the flag bearer of Hussein. May Allah accept your tears, O Azadarane Hussein. Ali Akbar fought like a lion. Ali Akbar fought like a ferocious lion of Ahlul Bayt. Ali Akbar at one point returned to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said, brothers and sisters, just listen to this. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was standing. Ali Akbar alayhi salam returns from the maktal and he says to Imam Hussein, Baba, I am very thirsty. Baba, thirst is killing me. Imagine the helplessness of a father. Brothers and sisters, imagine the helplessness of a father who cannot provide a few drops of water to his son. Ya Hussein al-Mazloom. Sayyid ibn Taus says, Imam Hussein alayhi salam told Ali Akbar, O my beloved son, go fight. Soon your thirst will be quenched with Abi Kauthar. Imam Hussein alayhi salam sent Ali Akbar back to the battlefield. Faraja'a ila mawqifin nazzal. Ali Akbar returned to the battlefield. Ayatollah Khamenei says about Sayyid ibn Taus that he is a thicker person. He wouldn't write something just to make people cry. He was a trustworthy narrator. Ayatollah Khamenei says that he writes in Luhuf, وَقَاتَلَ أَعْزَمَ الْكِتَالِ. After return, Ali Akbar fought the greatest fight. Someone from the camp of the enemy shot an arrow at Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam. I wonder how sharp that arrow would be. I wonder how poisonous that arrow would be. The baby of Hussein, Ali Asghar, was shot with a three-headed arrow. I wonder what Ali Akbar was shot with. فَنَّزَلَ مِنَ الْفَرَسِ. The maktal here, it doesn't say
The Maqtal, it doesn't say فَنَزَلَ مِنَ الْفَرَسِ, that Ali Akbar came down from the horse. No, it doesn't say that. The Maqtal says فَسَكَتَ مِنَ الْفَرَسِ, Ali Akbar fell down from the horse. Both Ibn Taus and Marhum Hurri Amuli wrote in the Maqtal فَسَكَتَ مِنَ الْفَرَسِ. This is what happened to the beloved Ali Akbar of Hussein. He did not just come down from horse. He fell from horse. Fanada ya abata alayka salam. Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam shouted, oh my father, alayka salam, salam upon you. Hada jaddi yakri'uka salam. This is my grandfather, Prophet of Allah, saying salam to you. Wa yakulu laka ajjal al-qadum alayna. O Hussein, come soon and join us. Hazrat Ali Akbar just said this sentence. Thumma shahqa shahqa famata. After that, he just took a sigh and a scream was heard and his soul departed. Faja'a al-Husayn hatta waqafa alayhi. After that, Imam Hussein alayhi salam came and stopped at Ali Akbar's body, drenched in blood. Imagine a father looking at his son with a spear in his chest, blood gushing out. Wada'a وَضَعَ خَدَّهُ عَلَى خَدِّهِ. Imam Hussein placed his face on the face of Ali Akbar. وَقَالَ قَتَلَ اللَّهِ كَوْمًا قَتَلُوكَ مَا أَجْرَاهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And he said, Imam Hussein said, may Allah kill the people who killed you. Their reward is upon Allah. This is the Ali Akbar of Hussein. This is who he raised from the get-go. This Ali Akbar is shaheed now. He has become martyred for Islam, for the cause of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Brothers and sisters, this is not where it ends. After that, the Bibia, the ladies in the camps, they started to make noise when they found out that Ali Akbar has been martyred. After all, he was the beloved of the ladies of Ahlul Bayt. All the kids started to cry. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْكَلِبٍ يَنْكَلِبُونَ. Soon will the wrongdoers know the end that they shall reach. Ya Allah, guide us to be prepared for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi. Ya Allah, hasten the reappearance of Imam Al-Qaim, who will fill this earth with justice and equity. Ya Allah, enable us to relieve the oppressed from the oppression of the oppressors. Ya Allah, give long life to the sincere scholars and our teachers, Fuqaha, and especially to the leader Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Ya Allah, protect the system of Wilayatul Faqih. Ya Allah, strengthen the Islamic Republic. Ya Allah, protect the defenders of Islam and the Mujahideen of Islam. Ya Allah, free the believers from the unjust imprisonment of the Kuffar and Munafiqeen. Ya Allah, give shifa to the sick. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. Matame Hussein.